نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا من سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار Alhamdulillah, we praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Wherever Allah guides, there is none that can lead Him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for Him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord, who has created you from a single soul, and created from it its mate, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah, for we demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah, and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds, and forgive you of your sins, and whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a strain, and every strain is in the fire. today's class, or Wednesday night's class, is from the book of marriage, and the book of divorce, and the book of plural marriages. And these books are from our Shaykh Mustafa ibn al-Aidawi, hafizahullah. And today, inshallah, we begin for the very first time and the very first class on plural marriages, or ta'addud al-zawjat, or polygamy, or polygyny, what the people call it. Our Shaykh Mustafa ibn al-Aidawi, hafizahullah, he says, هَلْ يَسْتَحِبُّ تَعَدَّدُ الزَّوْجَاتِ Is plural marriages recommended? قَالَ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكْ وَتَعَالَى وَنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تُقْسِطُوا فِي الْيَتَامَى فَانْكِحُوا مَا طَابَ لَكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَاعَ فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا فَوَاحِدَةً أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ ذَلِكَ أَدْنَى أَلَّا تَعُولُوا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, and if you fear that you will not be just pertaining to the orphan women, then marry whatever you like of the women, 2, 3, or 4. And if you fear that you will not be just, then only one, or what your right hands possess, or the war captive women, that is safer that you don't transgress the bounds. And we have already mentioned as our Shaykh Mustafa ibn al-Aidawi, he says, and that these chapters have already been preceded in the chapters of the encouragement to be married, from what we had already covered, and the authenticity and where these hadith are located in the books of the Sunnah, and the speech about the different hadiths, and in particular the hadith, the affairs that have been made most beloving to me in this world are women and fine oils, from the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And here we have the statement about Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma li Sa'id ibn Jubayr rahmatullahi alayhi rahimahullah fatazawwaj fa inna khayra hadhihi al-ummati aktharuha nisa'a. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he said to Sa'id ibn Jubayr rahimahullah, I command you to marry, because indeed the best of this ummah is the one with the most wives. What is meant by this statement, the best of this ummah is the one with the most wives, could be referring to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And therefore, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be the one who is best in this ummah because he had more wives than anyone else in this ummah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Or what could be meant by this is that in general, whoever has more wives is better. And both of these understandings could be applied to this one text. And in any case, both of the understandings lead to what the people use this athar for, and that is to show the recommendation of plural marriages, and Allah knows best. Now, we had already mentioned the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu, anna an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kani yatufu ala nisa'ihi fi laylatin wahidatin walahu tis'u niswa. We already mentioned the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to go around to all of his wives in one night, and he had 9 wives sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we already mentioned the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-Asi radiallahu anhuma anna an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala ad-dunya mata'un wa khayru mata'id dunya al-mar'atu s-saliha. The hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-Asi radiallahu anhuma that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this world is a commodity, and the best commodity in this world is a righteous wife. And we already mentioned the hadith of Ma'qal ibn Yasar radiyallahu anhu qala ja'a rajulun ila rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faqal inni asabtu imra'atan dhata hasabin wa mansab illa annaha la talidu afa atazawwajuha fanahahu thumma atahu athaniya fanahahu thumma atahu athalitha fanahahu faqala tazawwajul waluda alwaduda fa inni mukathirun bikum. We mentioned the hadith of Ma'qal ibn Yasar radiallahu anhu, where he said that a man came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, I have found a lady with a high status and a big position, but she doesn't have any children, or she's not able to have any children. Should I marry her? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited him. So he came back a second time, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited him. So he came back a third time, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited him and said, I command you to marry the women who will have a lot of children and who love their husbands and their husbands love them, so that indeed I will brag about the biggest ummah, or I will have the most people in my ummah. And our Shaykh, he explains, Mustafa ibn al-Adawi hafizahullah, he says that we're using this hadith as evidence because of the statement of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, indeed I want to have the biggest ummah. And this leads to a lot of marriages, because the more marriages can lead to the more having of children, the more children by Allah's permission, and more children will lead to more numbers. And with that also, we have encouraged or advised to marry the women who will have a lot of children. And if a man knows that a lady cannot have children, then he shouldn't marry her. And then this prohibition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a discouragement, and not meaning that it's haram, because indeed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, he kept on to the women, held on to the women who did not have any children, and the only women who had children from him sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Khadija and Maria radiallahu anhuma, and Allah Ta'ala knows best. Also, we've mentioned the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam qala idha mata al-insanu inqata amaluhu illa min thalatha illa min sadaqatin jariyah aw ilman yuntafi'u bihi أو ولد صالح يدعو له. And also we mentioned the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when the human being dies, all of his deeds are cut off except 3. except sadaqah that's ongoing, or knowledge that the people benefit from, or a righteous child that would make dua for him. And we also mentioned the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wa fi budi ahadikum sadaqah. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in having relations with your wives is sadaqah. And we also mentioned the hadith, hubbiba ilayya min ad-dunya an-nisa wa at-tib wa ju'ilat qurratu 'ayni fi as-salat. And the statements that we mentioned pertaining to the authenticity of this hadith, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, from the affairs of this world that have been made beloved to me are women and fine oils, and I have the beauties of my eyes in the salat, or something like that. Allah knows best. And we have mentioned other hadith than those that were mentioned. The Shaykh, he didn't explain every hadith to show its relationship towards the chapter title, is it recommended to have plural marriages? And I hope that we see from every hadith what it is, but I'll just mention in brief inshallah tabarak wa ta'ala for those hadith that the Shaykh didn't expound on. The hadith that the Prophet ﷺ had 9 women. This shows the recommendation to have more than one wife, because the Prophet ﷺ had more than one wife, alayhi salatu wassalam, and the finest guidance is the guidance of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or the statement of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ahzab, لَقَدَ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Indeed, you will find in the Messenger of Allah the finest example. And in the hadith, the best commodity in this world is a righteous lady. And this is the best thing that you can get. So you want to get as much of the best thing that you can get. Naam. So the best thing is one righteous lady. If you have two, then you got two of the best things that you can get in this world. And like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Also, to have children, and the hadith that your deeds cut off after your death, and to have a child, except 3, and from amongst those is to have a child that will make dua for you. And this is, the more women you have, the more possibility to have more children, and the more children you have, the more possibility that some of them will at least be righteous, and they'll make dua for you after your death, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And in the relations with your wives is a sadaqah, and the more women you have, the more sadaqah you can give. And also that the things of this world that have been made beloved to the Prophet ﷺ, from amongst them is the women and fine oils. And this should be what we like of this world, is women and smelling nice, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed us in this hadith. Our Shaykh Mustafa ibn al-Adawi, he says, and we mentioned other hadith, and if you remember some of the hadith supporting this point inshallah ta'ala, then you could remember those hadith. The Shaykh, he adds after this an important point, or points, and I hope we listen closely inshallah. He says, all of this is evidence to show the recommendation of having many wives. And this recommendation is for the men who have the ability to be just between their wives, in accordance to the statement of Allah Ta'ala, فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا. And if you fear that you will not be just, and if a man is feels safe with himself from being tested and tried with many women, and he feels that he won't stop giving Allah his right because of the women, or that he'll be too busy with his wives that will distract him from the worship of Allah, if he's safe from this, then he should marry. And Allah Ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ وَأَوْلَادِكُمْ عَدُوًا لَكُمْ فَأَحْذَرُوهُمْ. O you who believe, indeed from amongst your wives and your children are enemies to you, so be aware of them. And also, the man, he should see himself being able to keep the women chaste, and to keep the women's private parts pure. So that no corruption is spread to the women. And Allah does not love corruption. And also he should see that he has the financial ability to take care of the women. And this is from the statement of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, وَلْيَسْتَعْفِفِ الَّذِينَ لَا يَجِدُونَ نِكَاحًا حَتَّى يُغْنِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. And this is from the statement of Allah Ta'ala. I'll mention the surah and the ayah number, the importance of this ayah. Surah An-Nur, chapter 24, verse number 33. Where Allah says, and for those who don't have the financial means of marriage, then don't get married until Allah increases them out of His bounties. And then I want to add another ayah on this point, and that's from Surah An-Nisa, ayah number 23. I'll see when the brothers bring me a Quran, inshallah. Allah says, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ مِنْكُمْ طَوْلًا أَنْ يَنْكِحُ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ فَمِمَّا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ مِنْ فَتَيَاتِكُمْ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh, I wrote the number right here, I didn't even notice. Ayah number 25 from Surah An-Nisa. Allah says, and whoever does not have the financial capability to marry chaste believing women, then let him marry war captives from the believing women that he owns. And even at the end of that ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ خَشِيَ لَعَنَةَ مِنْكُمْ وَأَنْ تَصْبِرُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, and that is for the one from amongst you who fears fitna with himself or some bodily harm for not fulfilling his desires. And to be patient is better for you, and Allah is غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what He's saying here is that whoever doesn't have the financial capacity to marry free believing women, then he should marry slave women that he owns. And even to stay away from marrying the slave women is better for you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this, as the ulama explained, because if you marry a slave lady and you get her pregnant, then your child is going to be a slave too. So if you don't have the financial capacity to marry a free believing woman, and you only have the financial capacity to marry a slave believing lady, then don't marry that slave believing lady, even though it's permissible for you to marry her, because it's better for you to restrain and be patient until Allah blesses you to marry a free believing lady. The Shaykh, he brings this, and I wanted to add this point in order to emphasize for all of the brothers in plural marriages in particular and in the other marriages in general, that the people must have the financial capacity in order to be married. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Before we go on to the next part, there's a question that usually stems from this, and that is the question of some of the sisters: can they forego their maintenance? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the men to not to be married until they have the financial capability of being married. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in both of these ayah, from Surah Ahzab, from Surah An-Nur, and from Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages the men to be patient and to refrain from marrying until Allah blesses them with the ability to be married. The sisters might feel that this is not fair because that will leave them without being married. And this is the wisdom, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, from making plural marriages permissible. Because just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed that some of the people will not have the financial capabilities to be married, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given other people the financial capability to be married. And those are the men that you'll marry, whether you're the second wife or the third wife or the fourth wife. And being pleased with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is better than following your own desires. being pleased with the deen of Allah is better than following your own desires, saying, I'm not the type of lady that's to be a second or a third or a fourth. I'm the type of lady that will take care of her man and relieve him of his maintenance and stuff like that. That seems to be following the desires, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. At any rate, we see from the text that Allah is calling us to one thing, and even if we have a fatwa or some understanding that some people of knowledge may give to us in the circumstances that we find ourselves in, that the guidance and the advice of our Lord, Allah Rabbul Alameen, is better and should be taken more seriously than any advice of anyone other than Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And I hope Allah forgives me for even comparing the advice of His creation with the advice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As how can you compare Allah to His creation? Well, subhanallah. The Shaykh, he says, من أشراط الساعة كثرة النساء. From the signs of the last hour is many women, is too many women. قال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله حدثنا حفص بن عمر الحوضي قال حدثنا هشام عن قتادة عن أنس رضي الله عنه قال لأحدثنكم حديثا سمعته من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يحدثكم به أحد غيري. سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن من أشراط الساعة أن يرفع العلم ويكثر الجهل ويكثر الزنا ويكثر شرب الخمر ويقل الرجال ويكثر النساء حتى يكون لخمسين امرأة القيم الواحد. And this is also collected by Imam Muslim. Where Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he says that it was narrated to us by Hafs ibn Umar al-Hudi, who said that it was narrated to us by Hisham on the authority of Qatada, on the authority of Anas radiallahu anhu, who said, I swear by Allah that I will narrate to you a hadith that I heard from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and nobody better narrate this hadith to you other than me. I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, indeed from the signs of the last hour is that knowledge will be snatched away, and that the ignorance will be widespread, and that zina or illicit sexual intercourse will be widespread, and that the drinking of a khamr will be widespread, or the use of intoxicants will be widespread, and that the number of men will be few, and that the number of women will be many, so many that there will be 50 women to one man who has the ability to maintain the women. The Shaykh, he says, قول سديد للشنقيطي رحمه الله في مسألة تعدد الزوجات. A word straight to the point by a Shinqiti رحمه الله on the issue of plural marriages or تعدد الزوجات, from his book أضوال البيان, volume number 3, page 377 on. Let me just see about the question, inshallah. Before this, we have a question. Can you please give nasiha to the sisters, brothers, as far as seeking a second wife? I was interested in a brother who has been married for a long time. And he unfortunately made a statement to the fact that whoever he marries would have to understand if the first wife needs him, she comes first. Please read Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 5 and 129. Give us some advice on how we should handle ourselves when looking for another wife and marrying in polygamy. Such statements like this can be a turn off. Jazakumullahu khairan. I'm not going to say anything, and we'll leave the advice for our shuyukh, inshaAllah ta'ala. Because after these two statements of the ulama, Ash-Shinqiti and Ahmed Shakir, we might not finish his statement tonight, there might be no more talk on the issue of plural marriages, except learning the ahkam or the verdicts of how to live our lives in a plural marriage situation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Our Shaykh Ash-Shinqiti, Muhammad Al-Amin, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, from the guidance of the Quran, that which leads to that which is most upright is the permissibility of plural marriages up to four women. And that the man, if he fears that he cannot be just amongst the women, then he must only hold on to one lady or that war captive that he owns, in accordance to the statement of Allah Ta'ala, وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تُقْسِطُوا فِي الْيَتَامَى فَانْكِحُوا مَا طَابَ لَكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَاعَ فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا فَوَاحِدَةً أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ. From the statement of Allah Ta'ala, and if you fear that you will not be just pertaining to the orphan women, then marry whatever you like of the women, two, three, or four. And if you fear that you cannot be just, then only one or what you own from the war captives. And there is no doubt that this path, it is the most upright of all of the paths, and it is the most just of any path, and this is the path of plural marriages being permissible, and this can be perceived through the senses of everyone who has an intellect, as we will see in the following examples. Firstly, one lady has a menstrual cycle and she gets sick and she has a postnatal bleeding and other things that will prevent her from providing her husband with that which a lady provides him with. And a man is always ready to take care of business and to increase this ummah. And if he was prevented because of her excuses, then this would wipe out the benefit that a man has to give for no valid reason. Also, Allah Ta'ala has made it a custom that the men are fewer in number than the women everywhere in the world. And that the men have a stronger possibility to die than the women in all of the aspects of this life. And if the men were to only hang on to one lady, then the magnificent number of women that are in excess would be prevented from having husbands. And this would force the women to commit the fahisha or to commit a zina. So refraining and turning away or abandoning this guidance of the Quran in this issue is from the biggest reasons that will lead to the destruction or the loss of good character. And it will bring us down to the levels of animals with the absence of being chaste, or guarding our nobility, or our manhood, or our high moral standards. So subhanallah hakeem al-khabir, so glory be to the all-wise and the all-aware, who says, kitabun uhkimat ayatuhu thumma fussilat min ladun hakeem al-khabir. This is a book that the verses, yarhamukallah, this is a book that the verses are detailed in giving the verdicts, then they are explained by the all-wise and the all-aware. Also, we see that the women are always ready to be married. And many, many of the men don't have the ability to be married or to take care of the affairs of marriage because of their poverty. So those men who have the ability to get married are much fewer in number than the many women who have the ability to get married. And that the lady has no obstacles or hindrances that will prevent her from marriage, while the man, he has poverty or the lack of ability to maintain a family that would prevent him from marrying. And if one man was to only, if we were to limit every man to only one lady, then many of the women who are ready for marriage would not be able to be married, and they would not have husbands. And because of that, those women will lose their high status, and they would turn to having bad characteristics, and low morals, and they will lose other benefits of humanity, as is clear to us. And if a man fears that he will not be just, then it is compulsory for him to remain on one lady, or that which he possesses from the war captives. And Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ. And indeed Allah commands justice and being good, from that ayah. And to lean to one lady Islamically over the other women is not permissible. I mean, if you have more than one wife, to lean to one lady in the affairs that Allah has detailed to us Islamically is not permissible, from the statement of Allah Ta'ala, فَلَا تَمِيلُوا كُلَّ الْمَيْلِ فَتَذَرُوهَا كَالْمُعَلَّقَةِ. And do not lean with a serious leaning, so that you leave her as if she is married and not married at the same time. This means if you have more than one wife, then don't lean to one of the wives, leaving the other wife being married and not married at the same time. Married because she had a marriage contract with you and you married her, and not being married because you don't spend no time with her and you don't give her her rights and what have you. As far as the general love or the natural love that a man has for some of his wives over others, then no human being has the ability to stop this. And this is an emotional feeling or something that a man has, and not that he's intentionally doing that. And this is what is meant by the statement of Allah, وَلَمْ تَسْتَطِيعُوا أَن تَعْدِلُوا بَيْنَ النِّسَاءِ. And you, this is the statement of Allah, and you will never be able to be just between your wives, as we have explained in other positions. And this point will be explained a little later on in a little more detail, and this is close to the question that has been asked. And that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you can't be just, then only one. And here Allah says, you will never be able to be just between the women. And it seems like there's some contradiction between the two. The first one, that if you can't be just between the women, then only one. This refers to if you cannot give those women the rights that Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given those women, then only take one lady. The other lady, the other ayah that says you will not be able to be just between them, I mean, you can't control your heart to love all of your wives equally. But that love, might you might like her more or whatever, but everybody gives their rights. And this is known from the example of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who loved Khadija more than his other wives, or after Khadija, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, more than his other wives. But he gave all of his wives their rights Islamically by their time and maintaining them financially and what have you, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. And this is the best example for the brothers. Our Shaykh Ash-Shinqiti rahmatullahi alayhi continues as he says, and some of the disbelievers from amongst the enemies of Islam, they think that plural marriages will lead to argument and trouble and dissension always and forever, and to lead to hardship and difficulties in our lives. And this is because so long as one of the wives is happy, then the other one is angry. So he's always between two angry women. And how can this be considered wise? This speech, the Shaykh says, this understanding or this speech is clear that it doesn't have any validity to it. And whoever has an intellect will see that. And that is because arguing and debating and trouble and dissension between the family members, there's no escape from this at all. And you see that a man will get into a problem with his mother, and then at times he'll be in a problem with his father, and he'll have problems between him and his children, and problems between him and his one wife. This is from the normal affairs of life, and it's no real big deal. And I hope that we understand this point, inshallah ta'ala, of the Shaykh, that it might help us in our family lives a lot better. Problems don't mean the end of the marriage and the destruction of the family. Problems is normal. We're human beings. You have a problem, you work it out. You work it out in one statement, a lecture, a day, 2 days, a week, month, whatever. Work it out. Keep the marriage and keep the family together. Every problem doesn't mean the end of the marriage and the breaking up of the family. As the Shaykh is saying, this is normal that members of the family will have problems and arguments and what have you. And I hope that we understand that so that we don't always think every time there's an argument, well, I'm a divorced sister, or I'm a seeker khuller, or every time there's a problem in the household that the only way is to break up the family. But there's something called just working out the problems and continuing on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The Shaykh, he continues as he says, and the magnificent benefit on the other side from the affairs that we have already mentioned of the marriage, of plural marriages, and the preservation of the women is much better. Maybe we can try to continue the statement of the Shaykh after the Adhan before the Salat, inshaAllah. Allah.
Thank you.
Shaykh Muhammad Al-Amin Al-Shanqiti Rahmatullahi Alayhi, he says that the magnificent benefits that we have mentioned of plural marriages and the preservation of the women and it being easy for the women to get married, or easy for the men to marry the women, and for the increasing the number of this ummah, so that this the number of the ummah might be big enough to deal with the enemies of Islam, then this compared with some of the trouble and dissension that might take place in plural marriages, there's no comparison to that magnificent benefit. And that is that the magnificent benefit will always supersede and be placed over some minor problems. And if we were to lend some validity to the trouble and dissension and the problem that can be caused because of plural marriages and the saddening of the heart of the first wife, and then still the benefit that we have mentioned would be even over top of that. And this is well known in the fundamental principles of this deen, that the bigger benefit always supersedes the minor, smaller problems. As he mentions some lines of poetry that explain this, of which I mean in general, the benefit of paying the ransom money to the Christians to get those Muslim war captives back is a bigger benefit than the money lost to the enemies of Islam. And the same with growing grapes that can be used for alcohol, that there's also many benefits that we see in grapes or something like that. The Shaykh explains, as he says, so paying the ransom money is a more magnificent benefit to get the Muslim war captives back. And this will supersede the benefit given to the enemy, which would be against the Muslims, by giving them the money or the wealth for the war captives. So you take the bigger benefit over the smaller, minor problem. And even if the problem and the benefit are even, or that the problem is bigger, like giving weapons to the enemies in order to get the war captives back, that the enemy might use these weapons to kill even more war captives than he got the first time, then at that time you would say that, you know, the harm will be bigger and that will supersede the smaller benefit. And then he brings another line of poetry that he says, when you're looking at a benefit, something that can be beneficial and harmful, then you look at the bigger benefit. And so long as the bigger benefit supersedes the smaller harm, then you take the bigger benefit over the smaller harm. Unless that smaller harm becomes more detrimental than the benefit, then at that time you would do away with trying to hold on to the smaller benefit because of the big detriment. And the Shaykh explains, as he says, and likewise, grapes that are used to make intoxicants or wine, and this is the mother of all sins, except that we find the benefit in grapes and raisins to be more beneficial than what grapes might be used as in making wine, and therefore grapes remain permissible and to be used because of the benefits of grapes over top of the small harm that could be used if it's used from the grapes. And then the Shaykh, he gives another example, as he says, combining men and women in the same country or the same city could be problematic because this could lead to zina if you have men and women in the same city. But for the men and women working together in a society the benefit that they have in working together is much more beneficial to the community than the smaller harm of the zina that might be committed by the few people who commit it when the men and women are together in the same sitting. And no one from amongst the people of knowledge have ever said that it's compulsory to isolate the women and to keep them in a city separate from them to the one man who is well known for his taqwa and his deen. Nobody says this, and this principle is understood that the bigger benefit supersedes the smaller problems when you have a choice between the two. So the Quran makes permissible plural marriages, and this is a benefit for the women, and it prevents them from being without a husband, and it's also beneficial for the man, and it prevents him from not being able to use the benefits that he has when the women have excuses like the menstrual cycle and what have you. And also the benefit of this ummah by having a larger number of Muslims that will be able to deal with the enemies of Islam to make the word of Allah uppermost in the land. And also this plural marriages is the sharia or the law laid out by the wise and the aware Allah, and no one would ever criticize what Allah has made law except the one that Allah has blinded his eyesight with the darknesses of kufr. And the restriction of the wives to only four, then this restriction is by the all wise and the all aware, and it is the middle path between not having enough wives that will prevent the man from expressing the benefits that he has, and it's the middle path between having too many wives, which the man will not be able to take care of all of them justly, and the knowledge was with Allah. And this is what we wanted to present today. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Originally what we wanted to do was to have 1 week for marriage, 1 week for divorce, and 1 week for plural marriages. But because we didn't even finish one chapter, it looks like next week, inshallah ta'ala, we'll try to continue with the plural marriages until we finish at least the first chapter, which is quite a long chapter. But it's the statements of the ulama around plural marriages. Because firstly, as we saw, the question came already, there's a lot of talk around the permissibility of plural marriages, and is it beneficial, and all of the conditions that you have to have, and all of that. So it's nice that we start off this subject, inshallah, with the statements of the ulama, past and present, in order that we might get a better understanding of this issue. Wa subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Alhamdulillah.
If a brother wants to give honor to a second wife, you have to be able to maintain them both. If you have a wife that is living in the house, your first wife is living in a house that's value about $80,000. Does that mean you have to put the second wife in the house at the same value, or would an apartment be sufficient?
Well, I didn't understand the question.
Wait a minute,
let me let one of the brothers here explain it to me. If you have one wife and she's living in an $80,000 house, if you marry another wife, do you have to put her in the $80,000 house? We're going to deal with those verdicts, inshallah, as we go along. But if somebody wants to know just for right now, No, he doesn't have to do that. No, he doesn't. He doesn't have to do that. No. I don't know if there were any other questions there, Abdul Rashid.
No, not right now.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.